Hello and welcome. My name is Bill Chestnut. I'm going to be presenting the Microsoft Integration Debugging Logic Apps today. Let's get started with the slides. I am a BizTalk Integration MVP and I'm principal consultant from Mexia Consulting in Melbourne, Australia. And just of note, the demos we're running today will be all running on virtual machines in the Azure data center in the southeast of Australia. What we're going to look at today is the logic app debugging points. So if I've got a logic app and I'm having problems with that logic app, what do I need to do to figure out what is going wrong? So we're going to first look at trigger firing. We're going to then look at the messages that get received into the logic app. And then we'll look at the action inputs and outputs for the logic apps. So while I'm setting up the demo, I'm just going to switch over virtual machines now, and we will then see my virtual machine. What I have here is, this is the Azure portal. We can look over here and we can see the simple logic app that I'm using to do my demo. It's very basically a service bus connector. So I'm receiving a message from the service bus. I'm using a custom API to extract some information about from that message and either sending an email or downloading a file through the file connector. The scenario for the demo is actually we've got a Visual Studio Online service hook for when a work item is saved. We're going to be downloading, or if the work item is committed, we will send an email to an approver. That approver will then go into VSO Online, approve that work item. That work item will then send a message to the logic app. The logic app will then download the attachment for that work item and present that on-premise through the file connector. So the first thing we'll do now is we'll go into our backlog items and we'll open up an existing backlog item we have here. We will change its status. I'm basically reusing the same one I've got out there. We will change its status from approved back to committed, and we'll say, please approve this change. And then I'll do a save and close. Go back to the Azure portal. We'll close these windows. And we'll come back to the standard logic app screen. And if we scroll down that screen, we'll see that down here below, we have a trigger history. The way the service bus connector works is that you set a polling interval, and the polling interval I have set is every minute. But you'll see that there's a lot of times where we don't have a message. So like at 10:39 a.m., we didn't have a message, but at 10:40 a.m., we had a message. So we can then look at the trigger history, and that'll show us that that trigger succeeded. And then if we go back and look at one of those that say skipped, is that basically it's got a status of skip saying that there wasn't a message available from the service bus queue at that time. So basically we didn't do any processing. Those, once you've got the trigger history, you can scroll back up in that window. And you'll see at 10:40, and by the way, these are Australian daylight savings times, so it's tomorrow morning already in Australia. So I'll click on that, and we'll basically see that is the execution that happened from that message I just created. We have three components in there. We have the BizTalk, or my custom API component. We have a file connector, and we have an email connector. Two of those succeeded, one of them was skipped, because basically that message came in as a waiting for approval, or waiting to be approved, so committed. So we can actually scroll down here and we can look at the output link from our trigger, which is our service bus connector. And what we'll see in there is we get everything that came back. This is all of the header from the call to that service bus connector. The data came back from the service bus connector down in my body, and this is the JSON message that got created by the service hook in Visual Studio Online. And if I scroll down there, it's a fairly large message that comes back. So I'll scroll down a little bit more and we'll see that we also have down at the bottom, we also have the service bus message properties. So if we needed to do access those properties, we've got those properties. We'll then go into the, so that's the what came out of the trigger, and that's what's going to be going, some of that's going to be going into my custom API. We'll click on that custom API, and we'll see that if we scroll down here, we'll see our input link and our output link. And that basically shows us what inputs were given to my API app. So we've got basically, there's some gateway information out there. Here's the operation, the get the work item updated. Then here's the content. So that's the actual content. That's again that JSON message. And if we scroll down, that API app also takes a few extra parameters. So at the bottom down here, we'll see that it takes the content transfer encoding, the attachment status that I'm looking for to say that I need to download that attachment. The email status, it says, okay, you've committed it into a Visual Studio work item. And then I've also got my VSO user and token. So now if we look at the output link, because this was only the approve message, or the committed message, sorry, we'll see that it comes out, the status is committed, and it's created an email body. So at this, for this example, the email body is just the JSON file, but it could be other than the JSON file. It could be anything you wanted to format in that custom API. And then we've got an output type of email. In our Logic app, we check that output type to see if it's email. And if it is email, we then fire our Office 365 connector. And that Office 365 connector we can look at now. And again, for all of these, we've got that same input link and output link. So we can look at the input to the Office 365 connector. And we're basically doing a send mail operation. We're sending it to bill@chestnut.net. And we're giving it a subject of work item committed. And then we've got that body that I created out of my custom API. And if we scroll down here, we'll see that there's a little bit of API version information. And then that basically sent off a message to the approver. So I need to go in and now approve that work item so that then the attachment from that work item will download. So let's go back and go back into Visual Studio Online. Go open our work item again. So we've got our work item, and then what I'll do is I'll change its status to approved. And so approved, ready to download. Don't really need anything in the description, but I will go ahead and put, and then I can do save and close. I will just open that up real quick, and I, again, and just show you that there is an attachment. So I've got a zip file in there. So this would be an example where somebody was delivering some stuff that needs to be installed on-premise. Now we go back to our portal. We close the few of those windows. We can then go back here and we can look at those runs. So you'll see we've got nothing else new right now. So I can scroll down here to my trigger history. Because I've got that polling interval set to every minute, so it might take it. So it ran at 10:45. It's going to run again at 10:46 and pick up that. You can set those polling intervals to whatever level of polling you'd like. So you could go down to seconds, or you could go up to minutes to hours. So if you're only getting a very few messages, you could do that. So we now see that we've got a 10:46 one showing up there. We can click on that, and basically we'll see that this time we still have two succeeded and one skipped, but the one skipped now is our Office 365 connector, and then basically we ran our custom API, and we also ran the file connector API. So again, we can go here and look at the input links, and if we wanted to, we could dig through the JSON message here, and we would actually find that work item status in there, because that's what we use. And then what that custom API does goes off and downloads the attachment from with a REST call to the Visual Studio Online services. So now if we go again back to our custom API and we look at the input will be the same pretty much as it was for the email version. So basically it's just got the content and it's got those parameters of what I want to look for. So when it's a attachment status of approved or an email status of committed, and then our token on our output, then we'll see that this time we have a status of approved. We've given it a file name. So in our API app, we've created a file name and we've added a GUID just so that we could send the same file down to the on-premise directory multiple times. And then we've also got a Base64 encoded file. This is a zip file, so we've done a Base64 encoding. In our file connector, the file connector's got an ability to accept a Base64 encoded file, and then it will do the translation as it drops that file on-premise. So now if we scroll back over to our file connector, we can look here and see that the input links to our file connector are here. And we'll see it's doing an upload file operation. We give it the file path. And that file path is an additive to the folder location that you did when you set up the file connector. So you set up a base folder location. So if I would have wanted to put that in a /n directory, I would have put that in that file path. I would have put a /n in front of that. There's our Base64 encoding and our transfer encoding type of Base64. And then you have one flag there, if append if exists, that's turned to false. So basically, the fact that we're putting a GUID in front of it every time keeps us from having that an append anyway. So then we'll go look at the output links. And basically, we get back information about the file. So basically, the file name and the file path, file size and bytes, and basically the last modified date on that file. And the virtual machine I'm running off now happens to be the location where those files are going. So we can actually go in there and we can see they're at 1046. And if we slide that over, we should see that that GUID matches the GUID of that file there. And basically it's downloaded that zip file. So I'm going to now switch back to my slides and then we will have a little bit more of a talk just about some of the other things that you might want to think about when you're doing debugging. So let's go, and my contact details are here, but one of the things I wanted to talk about is that when you get a failure, what you'll see a lot of times is you'll see that you get a input but no output. So you'll see, or if you do get an output, that'll have the error message. So if it's going to a HTTP endpoint, you'll see maybe a 401 or a 500, something like that in there. And you may want to then have to look in a little bit further to that. But the Logic app is just basically making those calls to the API apps. And you might, there could be a lot of different things that go wrong, but you should see most of that information in those input and output links. Because if under the covers, if you remember that the Logic app is just invoking each one of those API apps with a web call. So basically you get a header and a body going to the API app and then back from the API app. So let's have another look at those contact details. So if you need to get a hold of me or you want to look at some of the articles I've written on my blog, there they are. And thank you very much.